Energy Energy. Thank you very much for downloading our podcast from Italy. It is a beautiful 10 February, a Friday morning. It is 7:43 in the a.m. Woo!
Ciao tutti!
Good morning. My name is Jason. I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Ashley. We are sitting next to six cats, one messy bed, one old computer.
And a giant cappuccino.
And a giant cappuccino. We run, own, and operate La Tavola Marche, an agriturismo cooking school in beautiful Piobico, Italia.
Yes, thanks for all tuning in. Welcome back to our inconsistent podcast where we share stories about life here at our farm and in cooking school. And now we are taking it to the next level and have incorporated a vlog into things.
Yeah, Elizabeth was very worried we wouldn't do the podcasts anymore, but here we are.
Oh, on Facebook?
I saw that.
Yes.
But here we are doing it. And I don't know why you guys are so excited. We do this suit every once in a blue, so you're much
really
better
sweet.
Off if we say we're doing a weekly vlog.
I know, but it's really sweet. So let's talk about the vlog. What is a video blog? I think we talked about this a little bit before, and we did a Facebook Live post last week about it. And a vlog or video blog is a way for us to share with you guys our stories, our recipes, the slice of life that is the podcast as well, but with a visual aspect, with the video side. And so we're trying to record things throughout our day, piece it together, and make a kind of creative, fun way to share with you guys.
Yeah, we did a couple of years ago, we did the live cooking classes. We kind of, last winter, we really didn't do anything fun or interactive or anything. So it's just a different, yeah, absolutely.
I know, switch it up. It's time to.
I love it. Puts a lot of pressure on, not yours truly, someone else.
Yes. The music is really hard. If you guys know of any good music, royalty free, or a good place to find good music that is not super expensive.
Or if there's someone you know who's a budding musician who wants to get their music out there, this is a great place to do it.
Each week I'm looking for hot new tunes. And I still listen to the Doobie Brothers, so I have no idea what's hot.
Oh my gosh.
But I need your help. So seriously, if you guys know any good music, send it my way. I'm always looking for something.
Well, we're turning it back here to our little slice of heaven, which is Piobico. We were gone for a little bit with we flew kind of last minute. I've never done
2 days before.
I've never bought a plane ticket to fly across the ocean 2 days before we left.
No. So. And not to like talk about the financial side, but we were really lucky. We had to go back to the States for a family emergency. And we thought, oh my gosh, who knows what these tickets are
going
to
cost. Yeah, it's like we got to get them and whatever it's going to cost, we have to do it. But
oh my gosh, we got so lucky. 600 and about 45 euro round trip each.
From Bologna to Seattle and back.
Yes.
And that was
2 days before.
That was incredible.
I've never seen anything like
that. No, I was prepared to pay 3 to 4 times that
it much. Was like, book them. Done.
And I've noticed a lot of, there's a ton of sales going on for flying over the Atlantic right now. I don't know why.
Yeah, and also I found out the airline Concordia was really good. It's a German airline, and that goes from like Vegas to Frankfurt nonstop, but really good prices. So depending on where you are in the States, check it out. Good prices.
Good price. I don't know how we ended up on that, but anyway, we're gone for a little bit, but now we're back, and we left with a good amount of snow on the ground.
Woo.
And while we were gone, the air changed and started coming up from Africa, the Scirocco.
The warm air.
The warm air from Africa came up, melted all the snow, and now we just have muddy fields.
Yeah. And the rivers are raging, which is good. This will all be great because it had a nice slow melt and then these soaking rains after. So this is all great for the land for the summer.
And we're getting the garden planned out. We have the seeds ordered.
We did get sweet corn in the States.
We did.
But we had to give it all to our neighbor, Carolyn, because Gaji said he would put it in the wrong places or sabotage it.
No, I said he already said, oh, we'll put it down in the
swamp. I know. I was like, why are we putting it in the swamp?
There's an area of my garden towards the back left corner where it's just the way the land goes, all the water kind of pools there, and it's just muddy, swampy area, and it's not really great for planting anything. I've tried, but it's just the ground gets so compacted and muddy that nothing really thrives there. So that's where Gachi really just suggested we planted our corn. And you know he'll push for it.
Of course. So we had to give it to Carolyn and put it in safe hands and entrust her with all of our sweet corn.
Oh, my God. Piobico, has been a problem with ladri, thieves, and there's a band of thieves running through the area, not just in Piobico, but in the general Paisero Urbino area.
Like, at weird times. I don't know what they're really stealing. I feel like it's like a TV or a VCR kind of thing, but they're coming around like aperitivo time when they think people are gone to dinner.
Yeah, so we saw
on Facebook
going around the end of last week that at 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, when people were home, thieves come and ransack houses. Yeah, and I don't know what they're really stealing, but small towns going.
It's weird.
It is out. So
we might have to start locking our doors.
I know. I leave my key in the car. Maybe I shouldn't do that. It's sitting in the ignition.
I know.
Daring someone.
They could take that car.
Huh?
They could take that car. I still don't want to wake up and
I don't want to have to go through the paperwork. It's not the car that that's more of a pain in the butt. It's like, oh, now we have to deal with this.
True.
But thankfully, we live so far down this road that you really have to know that someone's down here and worth it to come all the way down here.
This
I think
is
our
true.
Proximity, our geographic location keeps us a little bit safer,
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping. I have no idea. The first day we came back, I made a huge faux pas going down our road. It's been really wet, like we talked about, and rainy, and I was coming around a corner, not really fast, but because our car, you can't go really fast anymore down our road and it's wet out. But I came around the corner and then I saw someone walking down the road and they were on my left. I got far as I could over to the right, but my freaking tire hit a pothole right when I was passing them. And soaked poor. I know who it is. It's Giacomo Jacoby, a guy from Piobico. And I was just like, oh my God, what do I? So I stopped the car and thank God I had a towel or something in the back. And he's like, no, no, no. And you know, I asked him, what can I do for you? You know, can I take you to the end of where are you going? He said, I'm just going for a walk. And it's like, of course you are.
Just trying to have a nice walk.
So I was super embarrassed, and of course he played it off because I don't know.
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, and this will definitely get around town. This is definitely going to get around
Jason's
town.
Jason's super embarrassed.
I'm very, very embarrassed and very
sorry.
His face
is all red.
and I don't know what to do. We'll have to bring him – I'm going to bring him something today.
Bottle of booze.
Yeah, a bottle of booze would be good. But there's no getting around this one because I'm already known for driving too fast down that road. So,
I know you are.
I am. And I saw him and made a point. I'm going to get over and give him plenty of room. And I wasn't going fast because I'm passing. You know, anyone who's been down our road, if you're passing someone on our road, you can't go that fast. But it was just kismet. It was just perfect how my tire hit that huge puddle at that precise moment, and he wasn't like directly 90 degrees to the car. I was a little bit past him, so it just kind of sprayed his whole back left side. It was great. Not great as in it was perfect is a better word to use. So yeah, there you go. I'm still making a good name for myself here in Piobico.
I love it. Yeah, exactly. This is why people definitely can't forget us as the Americans down here.
Absolutely not. We're coming up this weekend. We're making sausages here at the house. We'll do 50. Before we left, we did 50 kilos of salami with Vittorio and Gaggi. And now we're going to do the sausages here. On Saturday, I'm going up to pick up the meat today, Friday, and It's going to be...
You'll have to check out the next vlog.
Yeah, you'll have to check out the next vlog. It can be either 4 hours of work and we get it done, or we could drag this out like...
Oh, God, because if Gaji, you never, ever know. We're going to try to get a bunch of stuff done before
I'm
going
to wake up
here
at 5 o'clock in the morning and have a jump start on this, because I don't want to have the...
Not only that, there's a sense of satisfaction when he gets here and we are already like deep into work.
There
and it's like,
are.
Old man, where you been?
So we got that going on. We are knee deep in our consulting, not neck deep yet. We're knee deep in putting together our consulting workshop, which starts on the
April 1st.
1st of April. If you're looking, if you're interested or even want to put a toe in thinking about changing your life up a little bit and would like to relocate to Italy to open either just to retire or to open a small business. You just want to know what it's like and what the...
You've got a ton of questions.
Yeah, you want to know what the game is, how to play it to live here in Italy. You do not need Italian blood. I don't have one single drop.
Nope. And even if you're not able to come in April, we are starting to plan another one. So definitely still visit the site, fill out the form, and we'll keep you posted on when we're going to do the next.
Everyone's
Woo!
In Italy, you're always looking to what the next holiday or day off is. And that's
feeding frenzy.
Feeding frenzy. Carnivale. Carnivale is coming up at the end of the month, no?
Yep.
And
mid-month.
Is it? Is it mid-month? And I like Carnivale because nothing going on in the winter, and mm-hmm. it's a big winter celebration. There'll be, parades and mm-hmm. dressing up and more, because we didn't eat enough for Christmas. So let's break out the candy and crap again. Here we go.
And the floats are so colorful that they do, and they're always got a one or two normally have like a great political vibe or spin or joke satire to it, which is always interesting to see.
Yeah, they did the Bishop Bling a few mm-hmm. years ago. There was this.
Remember there was the Carabinieri on the motorbikes the one year?
Yeah.
Like every year there's something where they're kind of sticking it to the man. I don't know.
The big processions will be in Pesaro or Fano.
Mm-hmm. For our area.
But not every little town, but Apecchio does a nice little one through their little village. And
They throw sausages
and candies, and there's big demijohns of wine on the back of all the floats.
I love it.
It's a lot of fun.
And then it finishes at the gym.
Finishes at the gym with a potluck, which is great.
/ like bake sale. I love it.
Some traditional... sweets for Carnivale around here, castagnole.
Mm-hmm.
Castagnole are basically fried dough.
And it's like a really good old-fashioned donut.
Yeah, it's just a lump of fried dough. They are topped with either granulated sugar and
alchemist?
Red stuff. Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
Alchemist is just a red liqueur. I don't even know. It looks like smushed up beetles or something.
Wow, that is not probably what it is at all.
It has that red color. Probably not. Yeah.
It's interesting. I think sometimes it makes things taste like pumpkin pie.
It does. It has. Is it?
But when it's got, when it's in like zuppa inglese, gross.
You just don't like zuppa inglese.
Oh, God. The color, the whole thing.
It's the same color.
Gross.
Anyway, so you can have it with the granulated sugar and the alchemist, or a little bit of honey drizzled over, and those aren't too bad.
No.
What's the secret to making good castagnole, Ashley?
Strudo.
Yeah, you gotta fry them. You gotta fry them in pork. You gotta fry them in lard.
Lard, sorry.
Well, strudo, yeah, pork fat. It just gives them a certain deliciousness.
Yes.
But I'm not making them this year. I really don't want to. And because I'll eat them and there's no need for it. And
no, we're trying to stay fit and we're going to be in Venice.
Oh, that's right. So my birthday passed at the end of January and Ashley got me 2 tickets to go see the opera in Venice at the, well, go ahead, Ashley.
Teatro Vernice, I think is what it's called. And I'm going to sound real stupid that I didn't know that real dumb, but it is one of the most famous opera houses in Italy and we're going to see La Boheme and get all dressed up. It will be lovely next week. So get all dressed up and before the crazy carnival starts hitting there.
Yeah, because you can't go after that.
No, but we haven't been to Venice.
We haven't been to Venice. Should we recant
oh my gosh,
the
that's
story
right.
the last
sure.
Pardon me. So the last time we were in Venice was when we first moved here? House hunting with your sister. We were, I don't even remember, the 2005?
Yeah.
Right before, a year or so before we came. And we were in Venice on
New Year's Day. Was when we got there.
And Venice was absolutely empty. There was not a single person in there.
Super foggy.
We arrived in the evening, mm-hmm. and it was really, really foggy. There was nothing to do. Everything was totally closed, so we rode the traghetto. We rode the little, the water taxi, the water ferries. And it was freezing out, so you couldn't stand outside. We sat in the back. Because it was warm. And little do we know it was warm because the engine was back there with very suspect exhaust. Well, needless to say, we rode it till the end of the line when the driver woke us up and we got out. We had no idea where we were. We were at the end of that big S snake or the beginning or what, somewhere. Who knows? We woke up groggy, like headaches and like, where the hell are we? How long have we been on there? And I'm certain we were just carbon monoxide poisoned for God knows how long.
That's how they were heating the boat, I am certain.
With boat exhaust.
We were just drinking it up. That was like so good.
We got in there and was like, this is nice and warm. Yeah, let's just ride this for a while. And next thing you know, all three of us are just passed out. It was pitch black outside. We're in the middle of like some neighborhood.
God, where are we? All we can hear are footsteps in the distance. And it's like, oh my God, totally out of it. That was hysterical.
So moral of the story is, just, you know, if you're going to ride, if it is cold and you ride in the back of one of those water, the ferry ones that go down, you know, all over, you know, every 10 minutes or so, peek your head outside, get a breath of fresh air, crack the window. Not a bad one. That could be a good safety tip as well. But Venice is great. Venice is horrible in this tourist season because I think it just gets way too packed and the cruise ships come in and bring hordes of people. And if you can go there in the off season, it's really nice. We're going to go there. I hope we're going midweek in February. I hope there's no one.
I know. Oh man, I can't wait. It'll be fun.
I want to eat some good fish.
Well, wait for the next vlog for it.
I want to dress up. We never get to dress. I wear literally like work clothes and ripped stuff. And
he's obsessed with his Carhartt overalls.
I wear my worker man overalls all the time. So it's nice to actually, you know, wear a nice pair of shoes and tuck in your shirt and, mm-hmm. you know, put doopity doo in your hair.
Yeah.
Why not?
Get all cleaned up a little bit.
Absolutely.
Can't do it here. Nope. Covered in cat hair and mud.
Another great thing about winter here coming up, I've started to see it, is citrus season.
Oh, I can't wait.
It is now starting in all the markets and the fruttivendolos to see a myriad of citruses, from the blood oranges to the gorgeous lemons.
To the kind of half dozen varieties of mandarincini.
And clementines, mm-hmm. Pompeo Moroso.
With seeds, without. What's Pompeo Moroso? Tight little ones.
Grapefruits.
Saggy skinned ones.
Everything is super cheap, and I can't wait to start off my mornings with a nice glass of blood orange juice. It'll be nice.
We're having our neighbors over for dinner on Monday, and Carolyn's going to bring the dessert. What was that one she used to make where she would do like the orange like juice over the top of the like chocolate? What was that?
I don't remember.
Oh my God. It was so good. It was some sort of like chocolate cake that something really dense. And then she'd pour blood orange citrus reduction over it.
She's into those cakes that then you pour mm-hmm. the syrup over mm-hmm. it and the cake soaks it up. She mm-hmm. likes those.
I liked it.
They were good. So, be looking wherever you are. If in North America, it's citrus season there as well. Have a glass of orange juice. It's time.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious. So, Ashley, when you need me to order your lemons and oranges for limoncello and orangecello, it's time to get it going.
Oh, it is. I can't wait.
Do you want to talk about 2 seconds, how quick and easy it is to make those two things?
No, we'll do that another time.
Excellent. Well, yes, and now, ladies and gentlemen, that is a theater major
there. We're about to
I don't want to use my voice.
I don't want to use up my voice. I'm about to do a big read.
Shut down. Yes, and. All right. Sorry, that one.
Plus, I thought that would be funny.
Oh, haha. All right. We're going to start something in the podcast that we never do is Ashley started to write a book about 5 years ago. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Or maybe more now. Uh-huh. So we had this publisher guy contact us and say, you should write a book just like Frances Mays and,
Under the Tuscan Sun.
Under the, you know, the love, the romantic story of a young couple moving and blah, blah, blah. So Ashley started to do it and you worked on it for a whole winter. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've written
a ton
of it. A lot of revisions and outlines and,
but then I got bored and frustrated and I don't know really.
Why did you get frustrated?
Because the notes would come back and forth and it became not the story I wanted to write.
Okay. Yeah.
So then it was like, screw it.
So that's, we're in the screw it section here. And, but why not, we thought, why not read a little bit of it because it'll never see the light of day. It's rough, right? It's
totally rough. Like, even as I'm reading it, I notice errors. So that's good. But, I thought we'll start with the overview to give you guys an idea of what this book was about and a little taste of our history. And then different podcasts, maybe not each one, but I'll, read a chapter and we'll see how it goes. I hope it's not too long and I hope you guys enjoy it. So we'll do it at the end. So that way you don't have to listen to the whole thing if you don't want to.
Oh, is that what
we're... No. I mean, this will be kind of the end. And then at the end of this, we'll give our whole where to find us, but or should we do it now? Did I screw things up?
What a setup. What a setup. My goodness. Are we going to edit this part out?
Or, no.
Okay. We're keeping it.
I like it.
Why don't you just read your thing?
How on earth did you ever find this? Is the first question asked wide-eyed in utter amazement before most can even climb out of their rented standard issue Fiat Panda. Without any stretch of the imagination, every single person, no matter age or language, wants the story of how Jason and I, two young Americans, ended up in La Marche, Italy. So here goes our attempt at telling it once and for all, and maybe inspiring a few others out there to do the same. Let me first set the scene. We live deep in the Italian countryside, in the foothills of the rugged Apennine Mountains, in the Piccolo Paese, or small village of Piobico, population 2,000, where the weathered old men sit for hours playing scopa outside Crazy Bar, and their wives watch in the distance. And the mayor, who's 46 years old and thought of as a Don Aiolo, still lives at home, knows everyone by name. And by deep, I mean 5 kilometers outside of town. Turn down a Strada Bianco gravel road and continue driving for another 6 kilometers, pocked with crater-sized potholes, testing the suspension of your shocks and patience, past the rubble of ruined stone farmhouses, crisscrossing the Candeliano River, just when you think you've gone too far and you've surely missed it, you're almost here. No TV, no phone line, no DSL, no neighbors, only us and the animals, kind of deep. I'll skip ahead a little bit. It's no villa, nothing fancy, drafty in the winter and perfectly cool in the summer. As your toes hit the tile floors, it's rustic and charming with a rickety front door that doesn't lock. And there's always a pot of something delicious stewing on the stove, wafting rich, meaty flavors up the stairs, calling you to the kitchen. It's where Jason and I happily call home. As I write this book, we've been calling this little slice of paradise home for 5 years. Building a chicken coop with 20 hens, one of the most verdant organic gardens in the valley, an inn with 5 guest rooms, and full-on cooking school teaching local traditional recipes from the region that we were taught by our proud neighbors. Amazingly, in a culture where unless you were conceived and buried in your village, you are thought as a straniero or a stranger. It's mattered not if you're an American or from Milan, you're not from these parts. Jason and I, barely able to speak the language, were not only welcomed, but quickly embraced like family. Before we visited Italy, I had no true understanding of eating seasonally and simply. I was taught classically French, where it's all pomp and circumstance, like life in New York was, all about the show. Then I moved to Italy and had a culinary epiphany that transcended food and affected my everyday life. What was I working such long hours before? I could never enjoy it. I still go to be exhausted but not fulfilled. Rich in so many other ways, our Italian neighbors have taught by example simple dinners rich in flavor, steeped in family tradition. The outrageous personalities on cookery shows and Michelin-starred chefs might disagree with this point of view. Let them keep their stars, complicated sauces, foams, and towers of food with pointless garnishes. I'll be weeding the salad bed. Jason is right. Life is good when lived simply. I've come a long way from the stilettos on Fifth Avenue to muddy boots tending the garden. It hasn't been easy, but it's definitely been worth it. We're living the American dream. It's just not in America. James Truslow Adams defined the American dream in the 1930s. Life should be better and richer and fuller for everyone, with the opportunity for each according to ability or achievement. It is not a dream of motor cars and high wages merely, but a dream of social order in which each man and woman shall be able to attain to the fullest stature of what they're innately capable, and to be recognized by others for what they are, regardless of the fortuitous circumstances of birth or position. Thank you, Wikipedia. It just so happens that for us, we found that better, fuller, richer life, and of all places, unknown La Marche, Italy. That being said, we were city kids. Born and raised from Seattle and San Francisco, neither one of us had an herb garden, let alone a freaking 1,000-meter farm. We both grew up poor, but with a phone, cable TV, and central heating. What, are we barbaric? Jason and I met in college. We were kindred spirits and fast friends. After dating for about 9 months, Jason proclaimed he was moving to New York to go to culinary school. And before he could finish his sentence, my eyes lit up and I told him, I'm coming to be an actor. I was ready to stretch my wings. We were eager to escape to a university. We were eager to escape a university neither of us should have ever been at in the first place or could afford. An overbearing mother and an itch to dream big. I always believed I'd rather try and fail than wonder what if. At least if I gave it a go, I'd surely learn something along the way. So we packed a U-Haul and headed for the Big Apple to live in sin and follow our dreams of chasing those Michelin stars and Academy Awards. It could be that Jason and I were both the eldest of our siblings, and I'm the eldest of 9 close-knit cousins, but we've always known that what we've wanted to do in life and went after it with gusto. Never a shortage of confidence. The two of us have a motor. We get an idea and go for it. Not with blind stupidity, but with fearless passion and determination. I would say that I am best described by the unforgettable 1989 John Candy classic, Uncle Buck. She's a twiddler, a dreamer, a silly heart. She is a jabberbox. And frankly, I don't think she takes a thing in her life or career as a student seriously. It's true. I'm happy-go-lucky, and the only thing I take seriously is a hungry belly. I am through and through a people person with a great sense of humor. Well, I think I'm funny. And a contagious laugh that can be heard echoing through the valley. Jason, on the other hand, ends each season of guests joking, I hate people. But that's just his upbringing in the kitchen. A born cook that hates being called a chef. The kitchen is the only office he knows. He can roast a whole hog in a wood-burning oven, debone a fish with spoon, butcher a deer at midnight hanging from a tree in our front yard, and to make pasta delicate enough to make Italians plead, he must be a little Italian. Jason is self-proclaimed super cool and a lover of pork. A full-blooded American, a guy's guy, with shoulders of a linebacker. He despises most TV chefs, save PBS. He's Jolly Bartner, eager and inquisitive, ego-free, with gorgeous blue eyes and a big heart. We make a good team, the two of us. We balance each other. I can't cook to save my life, and Jason can barely type. He's a painful hunt and pecker. My strength is working what's referred to in the industry as the front of the house. Jason is the heart of the house. Jason would prefer to clean the stove in silence after dinner, whereas from 6 a.m. to midnight, I've got what you'd call the gift of gab. We make each other laugh, finish each other's sentences, and break out in song like some modern, demented, tone-deaf Von Trapp family. But instead of Bavarian soak songs, we harmonize to Tupac, old Whitney Houston ballads, and the Doobie Brothers. We got range, baby. Just 5 years ago, it was a different life we led. Instead of a sprawling 500-acre property working from home, we lived in a tiny one-bedroom apartment in a three-story walk-up in the Irish-Italian neighborhood of Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, a block off the NR line. We thought we moved to New York for 2 years, but 8 years later, we were still there in the same apartment, the same job, sucked in. It never felt like home. I couldn't imagine myself growing old there. It may sound stupid, but I missed the smell of fresh-cut grass in the summer. Sinatra got it right, though. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. And we believed it. To us, New York was a place to learn and grow a set of serious balls. We did both. Quickly, you learn it's sink or swim. There's an energy and a pulse in the city you feed off of and become addicted to. The world is at your fingertips. Jason could order blowfish to be flown in for dinner that night for a special event without blinking. However, I think we were at a crossroads, feeling more like we were floundering in a life we didn't want to lead. Jason was making good money, but compromising happiness and spending quality time for it. Yes, the shopping was amazing and intoxicating. There's takeout of any worldly cuisine at any ungodly hour. But we didn't have real friends. There's no sense of belonging. We were spent. We became jaded, losing that effervescence of life. There's no time to stop and smell the roses while you're weaving in and out of tourist-packed midtown, dodging town cars and trying to make the express train home in time for extra. New York is great if you're young and poor or old and rich. But we're right in the middle, and it kind of sucks. We worked in the city, doing the daily grind and corporate gig, working for the man. A cheerful 45-minute standing-room-only train ride to Midtown with a transfer for the express train to arrive at a job where I was only going through the motions and didn't really care about, coming home exhausted and bloated. If Jason was working late, and he normally was, I called dinner a bowl of cereal or cottage cheese and chips. I had been working for the same company since I was 17, a resort dining and athletics club. I started in Seattle and transferred to the location in New York. I learned a lot about high-end custom service and was good at my job, but my heart wasn't in it. As Jason says, I was never ready to drink the corporate Kool-Aid. Jason had worked his way up in the kitchen from grunt work at Dean & DeLuca in Soho while taking night classes at the French Culinary Institute to the executive chef on the Upper West Side of a hotty-totty, celebrity-filled, quote-unquote, urban country club, serving, quote-unquote, spa cuisine, whatever that means. The higher in the chain of command, the less cooking you do. Jason says it's more about putting out fires or babysitting adults. Corporate meetings, shaking hands, and kissing babies. You don't cook. You deal with bullshit as an executive chef. Jason quickly deserved that being an executive chef wasn't all it cracked up to be. He spent more time managing people than actually cooking. Let's just say I attracted the most savory of characters with the budget I had for labor. Whoever was willing to work for less than $10 an hour in a hot, windowless kitchen, standing on your feet for 8 hours a day was hired. I learned the hard way that hiring a dishwasher from the Dominican Republic and a line cook from Ecuador would cause problems. I worked long hours thinking my sacrifices would be rewarded. Walking to work during the blackout or 9/11 was quickly forgotten when reviewing the budget. The kitchen in New York is about what's in fashion, not what's in season. He was getting burned out, and I could see it in his eyes. That love of feeding others was slipping away. He had even contemplated leaving the kitchen to become an air traffic controller. Thank God he didn't. I just felt like it was time to go, time to start the next chapter in our lives. Jason was right. We could feel it. It was 2006, and we were planning to get married and ready to buy a house. What, with the fabulous zero-down mortgages and all our friends were taking advantage of, we'd be crazy not to start looking. We had visited L.A., and were looking for houses in Southern California. As West Coasters, we're more chill and relaxed than the tightly wound, slightly neurotic fast walkers we had become in New York. After almost 9 years, we knew we didn't want to become lifers, where the sun rises and sets on the island of Manhattan. We wanted a garden. My God, not even a garden per se, but some resemblance of grass to rub my toes in on a summer's day. So all that being said, when Italians, guests, our friends and family, the random German looky-loo alike, ask, how'd you find this place? They're really asking, why in the hell did you two end up moving here from New York City at 26 to start a farm and cooking school? Well, the truth is, it may be a little over-the-top cheesy, but we first came to Italy on Cue the Music, our honeymoon.
That's amore.
When we decided to get married, Jason said to me, why not have a small wedding and a rockin' honeymoon? So that's exactly what we did, and it changed everything. So in the spring of 2006, after a lovely little wedding at a B&B on Orcas Island, Jason and I took almost a month off from work at the dismay of many disgruntled coworkers and traveled across Italy from the top to toe, exploring and experiencing Italy and those crazy, wonderful Italians. We fell in love with life here. Italy is magical. It draws you in first with the food and wine and the spectacular landscape, then with the people and the culture and the quality of life they share. It all started with the food for us, as it always does. Of course, it's beyond what you'd expect, especially coming from New York, where the Jersey Shore bastardizes Italians with visions of Guidos and Gumas, drowning their overcooked pasta in heavy sauces and spiking their sticky gelled hair. Unlike in the U.S., here the food is uber local and all seasonal, which we discovered immediately. We landed in Venice, jet-lagged from a crazy wedding weekend, but ready to begin eating. After exploring the sinking city and devouring plate after plate of fresh-made pasta with vongole or squid ink, we picked up our trusty little rental car and zigzagged our way to the Dolomites and through the hairpin turns of the Alpi di Susi. Amazed at the steep peaks and sweeping alpine meadows, I couldn't help but sing every single song from The Sound of Music, because baby, those hills were alive. In the north, we ate heavy, meaty dishes with German-Austrian influence. Brown breads, heavy sauces, smoked meat like speck, an Italian take on spätzle, and the most incredible hand-churned butter in restaurants with hand-carved wooden tables with legs the size of my thighs. Although feeling like it was time to pull on my fat pants, we hadn't even made it to the bread basket of Italy. Emilia Romagna, the home of prosciutto di Parma, bolognese, parmigiano reggiano, traditional balsamic of Modena, and the most amazing puffy fried cheese bread I've ever had. As a wonderful surprise, Jason had booked us a balsamic tasting. At first, I scoffed at the idea. Why are we going out of our way to taste salad dressing? I had no idea what was in store. We left our little rental on the street and passed through the iron gates of Acciaio di Giorgio in Modena, a large manor house that has the home for vinegar makers and their barrels of hundreds of years. We were welcomed like old family friends by the proud wife of Giorgio, Giovanna, for a tasting of balsamic vinegar in their attic. Our noses twitched as we climbed the stairs, the sweet smell of balsamic awakening our senses immediately. Warming the balsamic in the bottle with her hands, Giovanna lovingly explains to us the details of making traditional balsamic vinegar and how, in a family of artisanal makers, this is a life as usual. Like only 59 others know, there is a grand total of 60 certified DOP, artisans of traditional balsamic vinegar of Modena. Giovanna pours droplets of thick black syrup into a teaspoon. As the first spoonful coats your tongue, you begin to swallow, breathing in the complexities, and you know you're in for a treat. Then comes an explosion of complex woody flavors, cherry, juniper, low in acidity and surprisingly fruity, which then begs the question, what have I been eating for all these years? The elusive Giorgio pops in here and there, first to graciously welcome us, and then to sneak a peek of our reaction to his hard work. They work well together. I think how nice this would be if Jason and I could work together like this. Bubbly public relations manager and the earnest, ego-free artisan. The longer we sit, the more We become emotionally invested in their family and future of their balsamico. To us, this is not only the true meaning of slow food, but the core of what we love about Italians, and honestly, part of why we moved here. It's the deep-rooted family traditions, unwavering passion for perfection, and true artisans, whether it be food, linens, farming, crafts, that draws us to this country and these people. There is something about it that makes you want to be part of it. It's the gas station attendant that jumps to his feet as you pull up to the self-serve side and begins pumping for you regardless, happily chatting about the weather we're having. It's the sense of pride in it all. Take, for example, something as simple as vinegar and how it can be transformed into an exquisite culinary delight with the love and painstaking attention to detail. I will forever associate the flavor of balsamic with Giovanna's big smile and the smell of their attic surrounded by age-old barrels topped with hand-knit white doilies. Each bottle is alive, rich, and flavorful. Each spoonful celebrating the traditions of Giorgio and Giovanna's family and dying breed of Italian artisans. Needless to say, we bought a few bottles of the good stuff. We felt like we were investing in their family and their future. Happy to pay €80 for 100 milliliters. As we packed the car with our booty, we kissed the couple goodbye and drove away knowing we were forever changed. All throughout Italy, we ate amazing food, including the massive Bistecca Fiorentina, reminiscent of the old 96er in the great outdoors, drank copious amounts of red wines, and damn near drank the golden extra virgin olive oil as well. With no set destination, we let our bellies lead the way, stopping any time we would see a pig roasting on a spit, which happened more than once, or a makeshift market. We weren't going to get stressed about a thing. Just enjoy where the road takes us. As we were entering the walled city of Montisi, slowly climbing up. We'll stop there. Let's stop where the road takes us. Obviously, I was long-winded. I hope you enjoyed that excerpt.
Wow.
That's the overview. We're not even done.
Well, I'm just... How long are you going to... Is there an end in sight, or are we going to just read the whole book?
I don't even know.
You really didn't plan this out very well, did you?
I said the overview. I told you it was going to be long, and you were like, no problem. It's a few more pages. We'll come back to that. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I've got to save some of this for the rest of the story. That's about another 6 pages down.
Yeah, we're done.
So, to hear more.
Any comments?
Is it weird to hear? I wonder what version that is, too. I hope it's the latest.
It doesn't sound like it. It got a little clunky there.
I thought so, too. I think it was a little tighter. I'll have to find a better version to read from next time.
Oh, my God. Listen,
if you guys don't like this...
you're not listening anymore anyway.
That's true.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, we don't plan... As you can tell, this is not a thought-out, very rehearsed... It's real.
Fly by the seat of your pants.
Oh, my God. Can you bring us home?
All right. You guys can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube at La Tavola Marche. And you can find us on our website, LATAVOLAMARCHE, latavolamarche.com. Or you can find me on Instagram at Ashley Bartner. Tune in Thursdays on YouTube for our vlog. And I don't know when the next podcast will be.
No. If you check out the vlog, and if you like it, share it with your friends. And even if they're not Italiophobes, that like you are probably, share it with your friends. We'd love to spread the word and get some more pub for it. Also, I would like to, I never plug it. Well, I guess we always plug something, but I would like to plug something totally different. We have been working on helping out my flight instructor with his new business called Flying in France. You can fly flyinginfrance.com. I am running the social media for it.
Wah, wah, wah.
Well, I want to try. I don't know how to really do anything. Send emails or do a Facebook post. None of that stuff. And I have to. There's no excuse. I have to learn. So My flight instructor, stupidly enough, allowed. He doesn't like. He doesn't. He knew.
He knows less than you.
He knows less than me. So I'm the expert. So check it out. I have no followers. No one likes it.
What's your Instagram? Where can we find you on Instagram?
Instagram at Flying in France. On Facebook at Flying in Facebook's Flying in France. And just come and like it because I have zero. I have zero friends. No one wants to be my friend. No one is interested. Be my friend.
That was pathetic.
I know. I don't care. we're groveling now. I've been doing it a few weeks now, and I'm not getting traction.
No. It'll pick up. Don't worry.
It has to. There's only one way to go.
True.
All right. Thanks
for listening, if anyone still is.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you listening. We will keep at it sometime. And from beautiful, beautiful, even though it's rainy and overcast today.
I love it.
It's still better than anywhere else I know. Piobico, Italia, thank you so much for downloading, and we will see you next time.
Ciao!